Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
The following program was previously broadcast.
My apologies ahead of time for the background noise on this interview. We were using a room that had some other traffic during the time we were sharing together. And I hope you'll enjoy this interview. Today on the Lions Den, we're speaking with Joe Cantor. He's at the University of California, San Diego, and he's the son of a previous guest on our program, Tom Cantor. And any of you who've listened to those interviews know he's a colorful individual, and it's a pleasure to meet his son today to talk about his relationship with Christ and how he serves at the University of California at San Diego, a beautiful campus. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
And now tell us what your role is there at UCSD.
Sure. I'm an immunologist. I study how the immune system works in when it's working well to fight off cancer and fight off infections with pathogens, but also in autoimmune disease when it's not functioning correctly. I mostly focus on that, on autoimmune disease. And I specifically work on how immune cells are able to divide so rapidly to mount a large enough army to fight off pathogens.
I see. Okay. And do you have a teaching capacity in your role, or is it mostly research, or how do you function there?
It's mostly research. Probably 95% of my time is research. Mm-hmm. Writing grants, doing experiments, giving seminars, traveling to conferences, reviewing papers. I teach about 4 or 5 lectures per year to medical students on the immune system.
Great. Okay. And now, what was your background? What kind of studies did you do to come to the place where you are at UC San Diego?
Well, I did my undergrad at Cedarville College in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I studied biology and chemistry there. And then in the time that I was there, I wanted to go into pharmacy, go to pharmacy school. And I took an immunology class, and I discovered that this system in the body was really fascinating. It was amazing how it worked and how it was all interconnected, the different parts of it. And so I decided that I wanted to study that, and I would be bored being a pharmacist. So I decided to go to graduate school, and I looked around for the good graduate programs in that, applied to them, and ended up going to University of Colorado and stayed there for 7 years and got my PhD in immunology there. Came out to San Diego and started a postdoc because while I was there, I decided I wanted to figure out how cells migrated in the body, and came out here and then finished my postdoc and just got a faculty position about 3 years ago.
Excellent, excellent. Can you give a layman's version of how cells migrate in the body, or what that is all about?
Sure. It's almost like a gecko in a way. There are kind of Velcro-type hooks and things for them to grab onto on the extracellular matrix, all the parts of the body like that line the blood vessels. As cells are flying through there, they grab on when they're activated. And then they firmly adhere to the side of the blood vessel wherever there's a nearby site of infection. And then as they grab on, they shoot out another little process from the cell. A little more Velcro part grabs on there, and then they begin to kind of walk like that. And this walking is not random, but they follow the chemoattractants that are released whenever there's a site of infection.
I see.
So that gives you a little bit.
Right, okay. And it reinforces that verse that we like to think about when we think of the body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalmist David said.
Yeah.
And every aspect of it is amazing.
Yeah, there really isn't any end to the complexity. Whenever you think you have one part figured out, then there are many, many more subparts of whatever you discovered.
Great, great.
Always more complex than you think.
All right. And yes, recently one of the Nobel Prize winners from my alma mater at UC Berkeley described on NPR when he got the Nobel Prize, he said, the cell is much, much more like New York City than it is like a bag of blood.
Yeah, and probably more complicated than New York City.
Right, exactly. And yet, unfortunately, he's still, I think, a confirmed evolutionist, has not seen the hand of design behind everything. Now, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and that doesn't come just because your father is a strong Christian. We know that there are no grandchildren of God. They're just children of God who believe in Christ themselves. What was your journey in coming to faith in Christ? Anything that particularly stood out in making that commitment your own?
Well, when I was young, I had heard a lot of the basics about how Christ had died for my sins, that I was a sinner and that I needed him. And when I was 5 or 6 years old, I understood the simple basics that I needed God in my life. And so at that point, I decided to accept God, Christ, into my life. But I think that as a someone who grew up in a Christian home, there has to be a decision as you are a teenager and then later as an adult, whether you're going to make this faith your own. And so there were several points in my life, crossroads, where I had to come to Christ from my own. You can't inherit faith, and you can't always approach your faith in the same way as your parents and other people in your life that have told you about Christ.
Right.
Every person has to come to Christ individually, and I had to do that. And at different points in my life, he's confirmed to me how he loves and cares for me and how he works in my life and gives me opportunity to share about him to other people.
Great, great. And so here, as a member of the faculty at UCSD, do you find other Christian faculty members there to fellowship with?
Yes. So we have a Christian faculty group. We meet quarterly for little luncheons. There are probably 25, 30 of us, which sounds like a decent number, but it's a tiny, tiny fraction of the faculty there.
Right.
Especially when you get outside of medicine. You hear about medical missions and so on, but when it comes to basic research and in other professions, it's very rare. But it's a very active group, and then a subset of these people, like 6 or 8 of us, meet weekly for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very encouraging time. And we all face the same stresses as the other researchers around us. It's a very insecure field. You have to apply for grants all the time, and you never know if you're going to have a job the next year. But we have a different source for our hope than the people that are around us. So that's sometimes a testimony to people that we work with, how we handle our anxieties.
Right. So are you in the medical school itself? Is that where you're?
Yes. Technically, I'm under the umbrella of the School of Medicine there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so some of the other ones that you work with are medical doctors. Do you deal with other faculty in other fields that are involved in your group?
Yeah. There are people all the way from engineering, computer science, environmental science, biochemistry, medicine, all different aspects of science.
Great. And now, you don't interact with students maybe as much as some professors, but do you have opportunity to share your faith either with students or colleagues outside of the Christian Fellowship group? Has that come up?
Yeah, there's always opportunities to share with colleagues because it's, in general, a pretty open environment where people are willing to communicate. They all assume that everybody is an intelligent person to some degree and has had some training and be able to communicate ideas, and they're very comfortable talking openly about ideas in general.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be surprised when you talk about Jesus to them,
right,
with what they've heard, but in general they're open and willing to talk.
And can you think of a particular conversation that you may have had that stands out in terms of this kind of interaction?
Sure, but there's been a few. There was somebody who became a friend of mine in the neighboring lab, and I had an opportunity to share with her a lot from the scriptures. And eventually, she came to my church and recommitted her life to Christ, met someone there and got married, and now she's in the medical field. So that was an encouraging thing when I first got there and really confirmed to me that God had me there for a reason beyond discovering more about his creation.
Well, that's tremendous. Yeah, that is so gratifying when you not only have opportunities to share your faith, but also to see the results in someone making a commitment to Christ.
Yeah.
Now, how do you see your faith relating to your particular field? Do you have some things that reinforce your faith or that give you opportunity to give illustrations to other people about the Christian life in immunology?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a built-in thing whenever you have invading pathogens and you see how cancer works and how our body tries to fight cancer, and you think about how sin works and how it works its way into our life. And those are kind of more obvious illustrations about how the immune system works. It's a very active system in the body, so you see how an army works, and that's always fascinated me. You see the design aspects of the interconnected parts. But you also do see problems. you see the effects of sin in the fall in this system that should work perfectly. Mm. But you see autoimmune disease, you see hypersensitivity where people have allergies, and you see immunodeficiencies where people are unable to fight cancer, unable to fight infections. So it's interesting. You see a beautiful system, but then you see these flaws that have come about as a result of sin, and sometimes that's sad and makes you look forward to the time mm-hmm. when it will be perfected again.
Right, right. So our Christian faith actually, as we get it from the Bible, as God's Word, does relate to real life, and the fact that it gives an explanation of why you can have a system yeah. that's so, you know, infinitely designed and yet has flaws in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And both things are explained by the perfect nature of God and the failure of man in following God and the effect of the fall on not just man's relationship to God, but all of nature.
Yeah, I think there's another thing, too, whenever I get frustrated with not being able to understand something in whatever part of in the immune system that I'm studying. It's a verse, I think it's somewhere in Ecclesiastes 3, I believe, where it says that he set everything in its place from the end to the beginning, or everything in its place, but not so that we could understand it from the end to the beginning.
Mm, right.
And so he's made it so complex, we're never going to fully understand it, which keeps us very humble. It's there's really not a big reason to have an ego as a scientist. You should be very humble as you begin right. to try to understand things and realize how tiny you are in comparison to God's creation.
Right. And so as a Christian, we are humble
yeah.
because we realize that, first of all, we're the creation, not the creator. And secondly, we need a Savior in Jesus Christ. And that's the message of the Lion's Den, is that there is hope in Jesus Christ. You don't have to throw away your brains to become a Christian.
This is Glenn Bailey, your host for the Lion's Den University Report. And if you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Joe Kanter at the University of California at San Diego and would like to have a copy of this interview or any of the interviews on our program, we offer CD copies of the program free of charge. Simply write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844. That's P.O. Box 226, Mifflinburg, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844. And we'd be happy to send you a copy free of charge. We also welcome any contributions to our radio ministry. If you'd like to donate to the ministry, we are an affiliate ministry of the World Outreach Ministries out of Atlanta, Georgia. And you can send a check. Simply make it out to World Outreach Ministries, WOM, and send it to the same address. And if you'd like to give online, look up worldoutreachministries.org and under their missionary contacts for donations, look up Glenn and Jennifer Bailey with the Lion's Den University Report. We'd be happy to forward that copy to you. And if you also have any suggestions or comments on our program, we'd love to hear from you. We're always looking for new guests on the university campuses, professors, students, administrators, campus ministers, others who are dedicated followers of Christ serving the Lord there. And we're also looking for new stations to carry the program. If you have a suggestion of a station that you have contact with and would like us to pursue that or would help us pursue that, we would appreciate that input. And if you need that address again, my announcer will give it now at the conclusion of our program. Thanks for joining us today.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Report. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.